changing his song, and the artist now CeCe Winans singing Never Have to Be Alone.
Waking up, another heavy heart and burdens I can't bear. Does anybody care? Seeing more of what I'm missing, less of what I have to share. Miles away from what I need, and yet so close when I'm in prayer.
I tell you what,
that's when I close my eyes.
When we have situations going on in our lives that make us feel trapped, that make us feel bound, that make us feel alone, it is good to know we really are never alone.
And I believe it's so.
Now, we've talked about this need to be released from sin. We could talk about it some more, but I wanted to use that as the foundation, because it really is the foundation. That is critical. Being released from our sin. And so one of the things I want to encourage all of us to do as we get ready to talk about being released from evil spirits, focusing on the need to be released from our sin. I really want us to make it a lifestyle of making sure that we no longer focus on enjoying the pleasure even of the memories of our sins. So, for example, that person we had sex with, whom we should not have had sex with, let's not continue to think back on that experience with pleasure. Let's ask God to help us see that situation the way He sees it and respond to it the way He responds to it. That doesn't mean that we make the decision that we're going to feel guilty about it for the rest of our lives. That's not what I said. What I did say is we get to the point where we are no longer committed to thinking back fondly of our sins, our past sins, the times that we spent getting high, getting drunk. We no longer think back with fondness on those days. We no longer get pleasure out of those memories. Not only turning our back on that kind of activity, but making a decision that we'll no longer experience pleasure even when we remember the experiences. All right, so that's it. Let's turn to Luke chapter 8 and begin to take a look at a scriptural example of the need to be released from evil spirits. Luke chapter 8, and we're going to begin at verse 26. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, He was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. Now, keep in mind who Jesus was met by. A man from that town, but this man was also demon-possessed. The demon-possessed, as a matter of, this is how it goes. The demons just had control of this man. This was not a situation wherein every now and then a demon would come to the man and he didn't even know the demon was there. And the demon might whisper something into his ear to try to get him to do something wrong, get him to do something bad. And he didn't even know that a demon spoke to him. As far as he's concerned, this was one of his own thoughts. And he either followed through and did what the demon tried to influence him to do, or he rejected the quote-unquote thought that came to his mind. Now, that wasn't the situation here. This was a situation wherein the demons were living inside of him and had control of him. They had control of his brain. They had control of his mind. They had control of his emotions. They had control of his body. As a result, look at how he lived. For a long time, the scripture continues, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. How many of you feel a little strange when you visit a cemetery? You go to a cemetery to go to a specific gravesite. You're there for a little while and you leave, and you're okay with that. You may have felt a little strange while you were there, but you went to the tombstone, to the gravesite that you were there to go visit. Maybe there's more than one. Maybe you have two or three family members buried in the same cemetery, side by side. But when you were ready to leave, you left. This man lived in the tombs. Listen, the scripture says, for a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. And he's making a direct contrast. The same way that you and I live in houses, this man lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, the scripture continues, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." The man had a voice. He could see. He could hear. "Don't torture me." And why was he saying to the Lord Jesus, "Don't torture me"? Was it just because of Jesus' presence? No. Jesus' presence can definitely bring that out of people, out of demons, I mean. But listen, there's more to it than that. The word "for" in verse 29 lets us know he's getting ready to tell us why we were hearing the words, "Don't torture me." For, verse 29 continues, Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. That's why he was saying, "Don't torture me," because Jesus had been commanding the evil spirit, the demon, to come out. The evil spirit, the unclean spirit, the demon. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot, and kept under guard, he had broken his chains. The power of those evil spirits living inside of him. And interestingly enough, that strength, that power was so great that the man's bone structure was not even injured, damaged, harmed as a result of all that pressure put on when the demons broke the chains. He had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Let's see what else happens here when we come back. What happens with regards to this encounter between the Lord Jesus Christ and this demon that had a man living in the tombs naked?